Hey there, Tech Intersect listeners. Have you ever encountered naysayers claiming crypto is too volatile, a total scam, or a hacker's paradise? Well, it's time to dispel these persistent myths and reveal the truth. It's exactly why I wrote Digital Money Demystified, available now wherever books are sold. And this book is your golden ticket from being crypto curious to radiating crypto confidence. Navigate the crypto world with clarity and conquer the chaos. Get your copy today to learn about my journey, separate fact from fiction, and maybe even embark on a transformative journey yourself. Don't stop there. Enhance your learning experience exponentially. Join the DMD Insiders Membership Club. It's a gateway to premier coaching, engaging community, and unparalleled content that complements the insights in the book. Together, we'll unlock the potential of digital money and stride confidently into the future. Visit digitalmoneydemystified.com, grab your guide to the crypto universe, and become an esteemed member of our Insiders Club. Let's decode the digital dollar and invest in your crypto-savvy future right now.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Tammy, and this is Tech Intersect. In the crypto space, this is an opportunity for us to go in and start small. And you can start at whatever level that you want. You can start at whatever level that is comfortable for you. The thing is to start learning. Education is really big for me, just around what you're doing. And I recommend people like just start where you can monitor and just see what happens. But I think this is a great time for us to really just get into something, learn something, read about it, figure out the projects that you want to support, and jump in.
Welcome to Tech Intersect. I'm your host, Tanya Evans, and my life and work exist at the heart of law, business, and technology. Yeah, I've earned a few fancy titles and degrees over the years, but the bottom line is I'm a writer, speaker, teacher, and lifelong learner, and I'm really excited that you've joined me on this journey. So what is Tech Intersect? Well, it's authentic, empowering conversations with really interesting guests who demystify complex topics to prepare you for the future, because your future is now. And it exists where law, business, and tech intersect. Get ready to listen, learn, and leverage. Let's get started. Hey, everybody, as we approach a momentous landmark with our 200th episode of the Tech Intersect podcast, swoon, gasp, I am filled with a deep sense of gratitude and reflection from my day ones and the one who was today years old when you're actually being introduced to the Tech Intersect podcast. This milestone, it isn't just a number, it's a testament to our journey of education, exploration, and empowerment together. From our very first episode, Tech Intersect has been steadfast in its mission to prepare our listeners for their practice, their profession, and your portfolios for the future of work, wealth, and innovation. And reaching the 200th episode is a rare achievement in the podcasting world. Statistically, very few shows actually make it this far, even fewer hosted by women. In honor of Women's History Month, it's particularly significant to acknowledge this milestone and the space that we've created to amplify voices at the intersection of technology, law, and business. And our show has transformed over time, but has always focused on producing and introducing diverse perspectives, cutting-edge topics, and your commitment, my commitment, our commitment to this point of view has always remained steadfast. So we're celebrating this landmark episode with Dr. Tammy Francis, a leader who embodies the spirit of the show to focus on the persistence and the growth in the community. The episode isn't about looking back necessarily, although that is certainly important, but we are also looking forward to the innovations and transformations yet to come. So here's and cheers to 200 episodes. Here's to many more as we continue to explore, to educate, to empower. Let's dive into this special episode and welcome our special guest, Dr. Tammy Francis, also known as the Catalyst, powerhouse in the realms of education, blockchain, purpose-driven leadership. We talked about that last time when she was on the show. As the CEO and founder of Catalyst for Change Global LLC, tenured associate professor in Texas, significant contributions to blockchain education, Dr. Tammy embodies the spirit and innovation and empowerment and of this show. We're going to talk about where we are and where we go from here. We'll talk about all of that and more in a moment. But first, Dr. Tammy, welcome to this special episode.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for inviting me to share this special episode. And thank you so much. This is very special. And I definitely consider it an honor and a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, let's start here. Share with the listeners and the viewers, what drives your passion for uplifting communities through financial education and Web3 technologies?
You know, I've been an educator for 23. This is my 24th year in a traditional educational system. And I've done things in the last 7 years in blockchain, the crypto space. And the one thing that I always want people to think about, and like with my business, I'm purpose driven. I want you to connect what you're hearing, you're seeing, the buzz, all of that to where you are right now. Where are you today? And how does this apply to where you are? Sometimes we talk in abstracts and people don't really understand, like, how does that apply to me? What about me? I like to go in and let's see where you are and let's see how you can leverage these opportunities. How can you reskill, upskill, or retool in whatever you're doing? And so I pull that education piece because I work with students who are underprepared and underserved. And so in college, and they're thinking, okay, I'm starting having to take all these prerequisites and I have to move through this. So it's going to take me a little longer. Well, with the technology advancements and how innovation just rapidly happens, in 4 to 6 years when they graduate, they must also think about, will this career, will this job be viable? Will I have marketable skills? It's one of the things that I take from my education experience and say, hey, when I go out into communities, when I'm working on the different boards, when I'm working with the different populations, I take that same thing. Like, where are you and where are you going? And so that's what fuels everything that I do. And I want to apply it to their college or career or entrepreneurship even, if that's what they want to do.
Yeah. Have you seen the changes in students? I certainly know one of my courses is blockchain, crypto, and the law. And I've seen an increasing amount, not only of interest, but kind of the in-depth knowledge that they bring to the table. The enthusiasm, the interest, the deep dive that they take, because they are starting, you know, those synapses are firing and they're making the connection. Not just this is nice to have information, but need to know. So do you find them bringing even more intellectual curiosity and a commitment to incorporate what you're teaching them and what they're learning into what they will do as they go out into the world?
Yes. But I think there's also not, they don't really know what those things are. So like some of the modules that I've incorporated in my course, so I teach developmental education courses in literacy, reading and writing. And so even in that, I've incorporated the future of work. I've incorporated some of these topics that we'll be talking about today into the course because I want them to think about, what does the digital economy look like? What does this future of work look like? What does the future of learning even look like for me? Will I end up in the metaverse? Those type of things. And so what I find is that some of them, they're open to learning, which is not always been the case, but they're open to, oh, I heard about this. I heard about that. Really, you know this? And then some are actually realizing that what I want to do is what my family wants me to do. What I want to do, what I want to learn is what my family think I should learn is traditional. And like even this semester, I had a student in my class who's into gaming. And I was asking him, have you even considered esports at all? So what I found is now they're like, oh, I think with all the buzz and all the terminology and things, you know, floating around, they're now more open to that. And so they're coming to me with, okay, I must think about the future. I must think about some of these things that I'm hearing. And so I think they're more open to learning. They're not like, no, I'm not. It's more of, yeah, tell me more.
Mm-hmm. How did you find your way to the topic? I know we talked about it the last time you're here, but for those who are not familiar with your journey, you know, and I think about my own journey, I'm one of the more risk averse people that people would actually meet. But given the topic, given the book and everything I do, it's difficult for people to see Professor Tanya before and where I am now, and kind of connecting to my book, Digital Money Demystified. As you began your journey, when you were introduced, were there myths and misconceptions and fears that you had to confront in order to move forward?
I think for me, it was just because it was tech. Because I've always been interested in tech in the classroom and tech in education and tech in learning and researching those things. But then when I heard this big term, blockchain, and then this other term, cryptocurrency, and it was more so the fears that others projected onto the industry that I started to wait, you know, because I was really open. I was like, okay, well, let's figure this out. Let's see how this relates to what I do. But then I heard all these other things, oh, all the scams, all this and that. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, whoops, take a step back. But I think for me, it was just because I knew that I had to, because it was so quote unquote new. Not really, but it was new as far as what the explosion and the people talking about it. It was new in that sense. No one had really talked about it, especially as it relates to education. There was a few institutes around the country that were starting their blockchain institutes and doing some things with it and starting to do some research. But it really wasn't. Education is always the last to the table when it comes to tech and implementing technology. I knew I had to learn more than just like the basic, like what it was. I had to really learn it. So that part scared me because I really had to dive a little deeper because no one knew everything. There were no experts, quote unquote, which I still think is the same today. We're still learning. We're still in training. But I will say that we know a lot more than we did 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And so because of that, I knew I had to dive deeper. So I think that's what scared me the most. That was where my fear was like, oh my goodness, now I have to venture out in this whole different industry and really become a techie. You know, I've always been kind of tech adjacent and dibble dabble, just put my toe in here and there and just knew enough to be dangerous. But I found, okay, now I really have to know more in order to teach it, in order to implement it. And that's where I think the fear came. But yeah, I think it was a lot of all this stuff floating around as well. So yeah.
We fear what we don't understand, right? And then when I think of my own training is I'm looking for risk. I'm looking for legal issues. I'm looking to avoid, eradicate, diminish risk, particularly in the legal environment. And then when I think about the regulatory uncertainty, and in some sense, we have existing almost a morass of laws and rules and regulations. We also have the alphabet soup on the Hill. When I think about the various legislative committees in charge of oversight of the agencies that are created by legislation, then we have the alphabet soup of regulators, and we have this existing framework where we have financial products now and then other implicated industries. It's just not a neat fit. And usually when you have kind of an exotic or new product that comes on the market, it settles in some form or fashion within the framework of existing laws. Now we have this programmable digital asset that has attributes of a medium of exchange, so functions like a currency, but here in the United States and other places around the world, taxed as property. So we have capital gains, and it can change its character over time. We see that with Ethereum, for example. Started out, I think it's pretty safe to say, as an unregistered security, but by the time it was sufficiently decentralized, then it, at least in my opinion, the CFTC's opinion, we'll see about the SEC, that's a story for another day, the fact that at least we can call Bitcoin, and I believe ETH, as a commodity. So I say all that to say it transforms over time. I have been challenged by that as an educator. Every time I teach, it's completely different. I feel like when I stay away for a few hours from crypto Twitter, I don't know what the heck's going on, and it could be completely different, right? The price, the regulations, the headlines. How have you navigated the dynamic nature of educating in this kind of emerging industry as well, with so many changes, so many things to learn, how it's disintermediating and disrupting so many different sectors and industries? It's a lot for an educator, at least from my point of view, and I'm interested in your thoughts as well.
I agree. So what I do is I listen to Tech Intersect.
I didn't even set that up, but I like it. It's a good place to start.
Seriously, like, I listen to the podcast every week. I listen because I know that you invite different people from different industries. And so to say that, not just Tech Intersect, but also those people who are talking, those who are, you know, some of the trailblazers and those who are really in the know. I listen to those broadcasts, those, I read those articles. I really have to stay abreast. And sometimes, I'll be honest, you know, my life is busy for me. Sometimes it's just talking to my friends in the space, and they'll say, "Did you see it this morning? It was 71. And I'm like, "Whoa, like last time before I went to the conference, before I started traveling, it was at 60, whatever." Right. So sometimes it's even and that was just a week ago. And so, you know, I it's really important for me to stay current by talking to people that I trust. So that's key, right? Don't talk to anyone. People that I trust, and reading those things that are, you know, the articles and things, and some of the things that I don't necessarily agree with, but I read all of that. And I think for me, I think I read more than I share, to be honest, as an educator, because I do know that some of that is overwhelming and a lot of it is up in the air and is undecided. We don't know what's going to happen. And so I really extract what I think is important to the people that I work with. And that's what I share.
It's important to have that diversity of view and perspective, I think, particularly in our position as educators. And I enjoy our lane very much. Personally and professionally, I've benefited not only from the underlying technology, but cryptocurrencies as well. I'm a diamond hand. I set it and forget it. But I very much appreciate the nature of balanced portfolio. I've done all of the traditional things. I personally believe that the traditional approach, particularly as a woman, woman of color, Black woman, that it's not enough. It's not enough to be well-educated, although I'm happy that I am. It's not enough to own real estate, although I own property. It's not enough to have stocks and bonds, although I've done those things as well. And I do know, as a Black community in general, and women in particular, we lag in legacy participation, but not for lack of interest. Sometimes it's access to information. More often than not, we don't know what we don't know. Right. Or when you think of the historical ways that people build generational wealth, wealth that you create in one generation, you protect it, you grow it, and then through the laws of descendancy, you can pass it on to the next generation. Right. But if you have those traditional things, I'm interested in your opinion on this housing market, but you have people redlining, or if you value one property to sell to get to another, same property, but if a Black person as opposed to a white person, or you have to like feel like, "I've got to take down all my African stuff and put up Leave It to Beaver so that I can get the right property valuation." When I think of retirement accounts, if you don't have the type of career that supports a 401k or 403b, all of those things weigh into the traditional metrics. But now we as Black people actually over index in crypto because of the absence of intermediaries. So even our approach to how we create generational wealth has to shift. So I'm just interested in your thoughts on that as well.
I totally agree. And that's what I tell people. This is a good time to learn more, to get in. You know, some of those other things, yes, we've kind of learned how to navigate, like you say, you know, changing what's going on in our house so we can get a right sale for our property and things like that. But I think in the crypto space, this is an opportunity for us to go in and start small. And you can start at whatever level that you want, not financial advice, but you can start at whatever level that is comfortable for you. The thing is to start learning. Education is really big for me, just around what you're doing, and just start. And I recommend people like just start where you can monitor $5 and just see what happens. But I think this is a great time for us to really just get into something, learn something, read about it, figure out the projects that you want to support, and jump in. Many are apprehensive because of what has happened in other spaces. And all the conversations I have is like, but. And so I think for me, my approach is, what do you feel comfortable with? And let's start here. Because this is a way for you to build generational wealth. And I tell people, like, even if you had dollar cost averaged over the last 3 years, and where you would be would probably be 100 times more than where you were. It would be even more than that, but I'm not getting into the math of it. But but you could have been so much just by doing little things like that. And that's just one strategy, right? And so you could just do something, whatever you feel comfortable with, and that's how you create this generational wealth. As you're doing that at your comfort level, you can learn more about it, how to do it more aggressively. You can do some of these other things, but this is an opportunity for us. And it's an opportunity like I've never seen, my parents never seen in their generation. And so it's really, it's a conversation that I find that I must approach very gentle and with care, and actually thinking about the culture. What are the misnomers? What are those things that we have that we know about investing? And how can this set you up? And let's just talk about the digital economy, right? What is that going to look like? Will there always be a dollar? So what would be our medium exchange? We're already seeing even our local places using the digital currency as a medium of exchange for a coffee or whatever. And so these are things that we got to think about, like, what does the future actually hold? Yes, it's an investment, but it's also very real that we may be using this to transact our business and everyday transactions. So those conversations are really tough, but necessary.
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favourite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
Have you ever found yourself puzzled, wondering if cryptocurrency is just a fleeting trend, a scam, or perhaps the future? Hi, I'm Dr. Tanya Evans, and I'm here to introduce you to my new book, Digital Money Demystified, Your Ultimate Guide to Deciphering the Crypto Maze. As a legal policy and crypto education expert, I've crafted this book to cut through the chaos, debunk the myths, and tackle the FUD, that's fear, uncertainty, and doubt. From captivating headlines to meticulously sourced data, I guide you through the promises and the pitfalls of digital assets. With 12 chapters and 10 myths dispelled, Digital Money Demystified is designed for investors, business owners, and professionals eager to navigate the digital economy. It's more than just a book. It's a tool for economic empowerment that directs you safely and confidently from cash to crypto. Say goodbye to bewilderment and hello to enlightenment. Transform from crypto curious to confident, sidestep those scammers, and embrace the future of work, wealth, and creativity. Grab your copy of Digital Money Demystified today at the book's companion website, digitalmoneydemystified.com, or wherever books are sold. This is the right book, the right voice at the right time. Don't miss out on the digital revolution. Stop by digitalmoneydemystified.com now.
So much of what is preventing us from diving in further, even though we over-index
in crypto and under index is when I'm thinking about the racial wealth gap and even the gender gap as well, but doing a lot of work and research for another book and for articles and things of that nature. So I got in 2017 in terms of learning. I tried to academically approach it and quickly realized I really think I need some skin in the game. And thank goodness I don't have to have a whole Bitcoin. It wasn't what it is today. I'm looking at the prices at coinmarketcap.com right now. And as of this recording at 5:32 on March 12th, the price of Bitcoin is $70,908.39 in the USD equivalent. And we know we've already reached the newest all-time high when it kissed 72,000 per coin. When I first launched Advantage Evans Academy, the price was around 9, 10, 11,000 per coin. And we saw that first run up to 19, and then ultimately the second ramp up to 67 that was recently eclipsed in the last 2 weeks. I think there are a lot of reasons for that. I think this is a new time for this, maybe like third or fourth wave past a bear market moving into a bull cycle. But there are always these macroeconomic forces that are the kind of the wild card. We couldn't see the pandemic coming, for example, where people were at home and on their computer, and NFTs were all the rage because people were occupied with that and a new technology. Then we had the crypto contagion year of 2022, where a few but horrific events happened that sent shockwaves across the industry. We had the Sam Bankman freeze of the world. I don't know that we've still recovered from that, because this feels like the quietest bull market that I've ever seen. Right? You remember the last time, and we had all of the celebrities and the Super Bowl, and then a lot of people got their hands smacked because we had unregistered securities, we had touting, we had people who weren't just advertising, but they were getting a cut of the business. So a lot of that falls to the wayside when we are in a bear market and people are building, people are educating. This is the best time ever, and it's quiet. Have you noticed that? Like, I have a few texts. Is it time? But it was, there were a lot more 2 years ago. Your thoughts on not even just cautious optimism, but people are super scared to get back in.
I agree. Like, it's been so quiet. I've been waiting, which is why I have to actually look, because normally someone is sharing, calling, texting. Oh, did you see? But it's been really quiet. I have taken that as a positive thing. I will say, you know, it seems like, oh, wait, what's happening? But I think just exactly what you said, people are educating. I think now people know, they've realized the ebbs and flows of this. Like, what goes up sometimes comes down. And so therefore, you must be very smart about how you invest, how you contribute to this economy. And so in order to do that, you must not get all riled up and excited. I think it's really about being intentional and being right. mindful. And I think that because some people really did get burned the last time, that, you know, it's interesting. I didn't know if people would learn, because I think, you know, it's this culture of get the bag and all this stuff, you know, and get money, that I thought it would be a bit like wild right now. And it's not. And I really like it. Yeah, I see more educated. I see more opportunities around people offering opportunities to learn more. But I also have gotten some things that I see as a shift too. I received in the mail a letter. I wish I had it next to me and had it for this broadcast. But I received a letter that was talking about Bitcoin giveaway. So what I've seen is, before, I think it was one-on-one. Hey, get into this. Come on. You know, getting people in their DMs. I think now it seems to be, for lack of a better word, more commercial. Because there's nothing that letters like the clearinghouse, right? And so now they're getting people, which also scares me on one hand. Because now they're touching our grandmas, our aunties. Those people are getting those things in the mail and they're reading them. The thing that may help is that they may not know what they're reading.
Fair.
But the thing is, knowing that someone is just sending out these letters and trying to get people in. So I've seen that even the way people are approaching this, I'm not going to say scam, because I can't say this. I'm not going to find out.
But that's what it looks like to me. So I'm not going to say that's what it is, but that's what it looks like to me. Like now it's done differently. So I think now it's like, oh, because people are talking about it more, because people are hearing more about it, they know more about it, they're probably more likely to respond to this letter, call this number, or respond, send an email to that email at the bottom of the letter. It's really scary, knowing that so many people don't know enough and not educated, but yet these things are going out like mass, like it was resident. It was like that. It wasn't to Tammy Francis. It was resident, which means it's going.
That bulk mail thing.
Right, yeah, the bulk mail and whoever has a mailbox, right? So that's a shift that I've seen, which is also a bit scary. Although the quiet and the education part is good, I also see some of those things happening now.
I wrote an article recently that said the Bitcoin is back and this time it's different. And by different, I mean good. And the reason is we have some interesting dynamics at play. We have the recent approval of exchange traded funds to track the price of Bitcoin, which has been tremendous. And looking at coin market cap again, now, since the time that we've been talking, it went from 70,000 to 71,000 change. I'm looking at the all-time number. I'll say the all-time number in a minute because I have to count all of the decimals because it's quite big in terms of the return on investment. But all of this is happening. You see it on Yahoo Finance. You see it on Bloomberg. You see it on CNBC. It'll start to work its way back into the conscious public consciousness. Although I think the news media is hesitant as well. They got a lot of things wrong. They got burned. They're good on the bad news and the sensationalism there. This is not a black or white thing. This is a nuanced discussion that also is really not about crypto. I really have focused more on the idea of freedom and the different types of freedom. I'm interested in your thoughts of this. So as I've been unpacking what freedom means to me after Black History Month, now Women's History Month, and we'll get to some other things, the idea of using the tools of wealth, money, of information, of education in order to create different types of freedom, freedom of money, freedom of time, freedom of option, freedom as Sunira, I think her last name is Madani. She sold a billion-dollar company. She's the head of CEO school. But talking about freedom of influence, which I think you have and I have because we know so much about this, but it's like the things that is separating us from that is a lot of fear of getting in, or fear of missing out. But fear is just not a great strategy. It's not an investment strategy. It's not an educational thing. But because people got burned last time by FOMO, now that is transformed into fear of getting in, or what I call FOGI, because I kind of made it up. I say all that to say with exchange traded funds, there are ways that you can participate either in exchange traded funds, tracking the underlying price of Bitcoin. Those ETFs, I should say, have been so incredibly successful. They have done better than most, if any, in the first 6 weeks, 8 weeks of their existence. The inflows are tremendous. And with Bitcoin, the reason I pulled up this page is because the total supply will always and only be 21 million. And the current total supply right now is 19.6 million already in circulation, where most people still don't know what's going on, and where those who have exchange traded funds need to hold Bitcoin. So they need to buy from someone. They're not buying from you and me, right? So more people come in, greater demand, a reduction in supply. We have the halving event this year where there'll be even more in circulation, less in circulation, I should say. We have the ETFs. We have clearing out the industry with the Sam Bankman-Frieds of the world. This is a pretty good story, but it's also a story that's not being told. So what do you think the influence of exchange-traded funds or the availability, but people don't know even about traditional investment, let alone about Bitcoin?
Yeah, I think you just said it. I think that's it. Like, it provides security for those who were a little skeptical. Right. Because now they have those things you talk about, like that. Now they can watch the price. Now they can get in and different. It adds a few other ways to get into it. But you still need to know how to own it, to possess it, to have it in your wallet, for you to have ownership of it. And I think that's the freedom part. That makes you a little more comfortable in getting involved and getting in it. However, wait a minute. There's still some basic educational practices and best practices around it that you need to know. And I think that is being pushed away, pushed down, ignored in the midst of this. And so that's what I see. I see, ooh, now it's even, you know, and I had moved away from having a lot of the crypto talk. I've really kind of folded it into how I talk about the future work and future of learning and really have put it into that. But now I found myself in the last month or so, wait a minute, let's talk about this. This is what it means to self-custody. This is what it means. Let's have a little cybersecurity talk as well, right? Let's have these conversations. And so that's the part that I think that I'm most concerned about, is that some of the same things that we saw a few years ago or in the past before the ETFs, I think some of those things can still happen because people are not educated at the basic foundational level of how to manage the asset.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
When you think about your education around finances in your family, and you know, when I think about, for all of my educational privilege, father's a doctor, mother's a lawyer, went to, you know, a small Quaker school for 12 years, then Northwestern, then Howard Law School. I've had a lot of great education and experiences. I have never learned as much about investing and finance as I did, as I was forced to do, as I had to reconcile, like, what is the point of this magic internet money? What is the point? Where does it come from? What is investing?
Why do I care?
Why do I care? Why should I care? Did you find yourself going through the same thing?
Yes. And my parents were not as educated or didn't have the level of education of your parents. And so as you were talking, I wanted to say this, almost zero. It was really just watching other people and realizing, oh, this person is doing this and this person. And because I have, you know, I think I've always been this kind of researcher inside, even before I knew I was a researcher or formally did it, because I always looked at trends and patterns and figured out what's going on. What are the similarities and the differences between this and that? And because I've always had that analytical brain, you know, there's some things I kind of picked up, but I really didn't have any formal training. It wasn't taught in school. Of course, we did the macro, microeconomics. We did those classes, but it wasn't realistic. It was really out there. And it was like, at that age, that was not the thing.
Didn't mean a thing.
We just wanted to get a high school credit and get up out of here, right? It was kind of that thing. And so I found when I got into this, I was like, wait. Why is it so important? Like, I'm doing fine. The dollar is great. That's what we use. Why do I need to be concerned about this? And if I do need to be concerned, why? Only a few people talking about it.
Right.
So then I got a little skeptical about that too. Like, wait a minute, if this is so important, if this is such a good thing, and this is the wave of the future, if I'm hearing about it, I know I'm, you know, like most people do when they come into space, I know I'm late.
I know that's right.
Even though I realized I wasn't. But, you know, right. At the time you think, well, if I'm hearing about it, I know I'm late. So why is everyone not talking about this?
Interesting.
And then when you hear the scam stuff, you think, wait, maybe. So I realized that I learned more about even investing in the traditional way.
Absolutely.
Because I wanted to learn about money in general, right? And how money works and what money is and the psychology of money. Go back to that.
Right.
Psych is my thing. So I like looking at some of those things before I could even put my little $5 and see what this is and see what this is about, right? And so I found that I was extremely more cautious than I normally am when it comes to new things and innovative things. I'm always like, let's just jump in, let's go. But I found that this, because of my financial literacy, was really low. And it was like, oh, wait a minute. If it is that way for me, what is it for those in my community?
Yeah, I found myself taking a step back to when I think about working with my membership club, the Digital Money Demystified Insiders folks, when I think about doing the free masterclasses, when I think about all of the other things, taking a step back because I'm making too many assumptions. You can't start here. You got to meet people where they are, where I was before. But in order to get to that point, it was the point of my book and kind of demystifying this space enough to get people comfortable with, all right, at least I can learn. And then to challenge our assumptions, check our mindset, and really start to shift. We have been, in my opinion, not Dr. Tammy, so don't at her, you can at me. We've been indoctrinated in a way not to trust ourselves, not to trust ourselves in every decision that matters. So the ethos and the spirit of the crypto community broadly, Bitcoin community in particular, for Maxis out there, is the idea of you are in charge. You have autonomy. You have agency.
If like, you whoa. Can,
right. And a lot of people actually don't want that. It was like, I don't want it. Nah, I want to go to the ATM. I want my direct deposit. I love dollars. Okay, you know who else loves dollars? Criminals. It's literally the number one currency used in nefarious activity. In fact, the activity devoted from crypto to that, it's not insignificant. We have rogue nations. We have scammers going to scam. But a lot of the scams in my texts and emails want me to send them dollars. And remember, like, the first use case of the internet was electronic mail. And there was evidently somebody in some other country that said, give me your bank account because I want to send you some money. Was that a problem with mail? Was that a problem with email? Or was that a problem with the scam?
I so agree, because even things like the FDIC and looking at insurance, most people didn't know what that was really about and what it really covered. Because I was one of them, we wanted to transact that way with a dollar because we thought we had so much protection. And some of that, yes, it's true on one hand, but there's so much more to it. And I think, you know, all those things that you mentioned, it just caused me like, wait a minute, let's talk about the basics first before we can move into this.
Absolutely. It's a part of empowering. I've never felt more empowered and more in control and more clear. I don't have all the answers, but I'm in more well situated. When we look around the world and not just the rumors of wars, but the wars, we think of the increasing globalization of economies. When we think of the space economy, like, they're not going to pick one particular country's currency, especially not the United States, as being the not just the earthly global reserve, but in outer space as well. We think about artificial intelligence and large language models and, again, space exploration. What will be the currency that all countries can agree to? Mm. It will not be beholden to a particular country, and it certainly will not be the United States. There are countries around the world that are reducing their dependence on dollars because we can't get our fill in the blank together. That we come up against debt crises, that we had regional bank failures that people don't seem to talk about. Like, don't worry your pretty little head about that. You have FDIC insurance. That FDIC insurance for banks is very low. If I'm worried about whether or not I'm going to get less than $100,000 back, I'm doing something incredibly wrong with my life. Ask the people from Silicon Valley Bank who were like, what about $100,000? I'm worried about $1 million, and it's not insured up to that. So what are the ways that you can hedge your bets on inflation, whether you can hedge your bets on government-issued currency in a way that you can still live, not just survive, but thrive in what will ultimately be, in short order, a new kind of shift to a new relationship with the transfer of value around the world, the liquidity that opens up when you don't focus on your little island, right? Mm-hmm. Like, wall ourselves off. I'm literally using that terminology intentionally. Can't wall yourself off from the rest of the world. You do that in this day and age to your detriment. So that brings crypto assets to the fore. And most people still aren't in it. So this is the time, right, where fortune favors the brave. So as we think about like helping people get their mindset right, what are some of the lessons or takeaways that you can offer to the listeners and the viewers about where we are and where we need to be?
Just knowing what has happened in the last 6 to 7 years and the progression, you know, you have those people who have this fear of missing out, those who don't want to take risk. And you have those who are extreme risk takers.
Absolutely.
And really go more. And so one, I encourage, I always say education. You have to be educated around this and connect with people who are reputable, who are at least will direct you in the right way so you can proceed and learn things on your own. So I always connect, I always want people to connect with the community. Find a community, definitely be a part of the demystified community and learn more, you know, because that's really important, because then you can hear conversations from different perspectives and you can be aware. Exposure. You've got to be exposed to this. So you've got to take that little toe and put it in the water and give it a try at the level that you're comfortable. And that is different for all of us. And some people, you know, talking about this extreme investing, they will go extreme because they want, no. This is not the time to do this. This is time to think about the future. This is time to prepare for the future and to really do this in a strategic way. I'm all about strategy and being intentional. So experience and exposure is really important. And so, and be strategic in what you do and have a strategy and make sure you know not only what you can afford, but your risk tolerance. Because if you were to lose everything, how does that affect you and your family? How does that affect what's next for you? Your job, you know, so some people, the things that they're doing, they have to also think about that, because what are some of those policies and procedures at your job? Those are the things that I always tell people when you are in this space is one, you want to be prepared for the future. You want to leverage it in a way that makes sense for you. But you definitely want to get educated. You want to connect with the community and you want exposure because you want that experience.
Yes.
You want to have a little experience with it. So, you know, okay, nope. I didn't do that right. Now let's reset. Let's do this. Or this is an area I need to learn more and do more. And then just be strategic, be intentional and be purposeful. Like always know what your purpose is and know why you're doing what you're doing. Are you doing it just because you like it? Or are you doing it because you support it? Or are you doing it because you actually see the value in it?
Yeah, that's powerful. Pass the plate. I think that was the shout moment. I hope y'all didn't miss it. Listen, this is so important that we get this. The only impediment to participating in this is fear and lack of information. Stay away from the carnival barkers. Stay away from the people who say all crypto all the time and the ones who say no crypto any of the time.
Yeah.
We want to watch what they do, not what they say. I raised that because I saw earlier today, Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan, for example, he's always said, Bitcoin is basura, my word, not his, but I'm sure he probably uses the word in English as well. And meanwhile, they had JPM Coin. They are one of the managers on at least one of the exchange traded funds. So JP Morgan is very much involved in the exchange traded fund launch, even though they don't have their own. Today or yesterday, he was basically like, I support your right to smoke cigarettes, so I support your right to buy Bitcoin. I don't see the analogy, but what I see, right? He can continue to say, I hate it. If you really hated it, JP Morgan wouldn't be involved. Don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Watch BlackRock, and I own a not insignificant amount of Bitcoin ETFs issued by BlackRock. I have no particular affiliation, but if BlackRock, one of the most conservative companies in the world, decided to be a part of the first tranche of ETFs being launched, right? You think of Larry Fink and everything that they said, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. You want to move like the banks because they're always going to see what that next thing is. They were hamstrung and kind of handcuffed in their ability to really move off the sidelines and in without a regulated product that they could offer. But now you have BlackRock, you have Fidelity, you have ARK Invest, you have all of these other things. I am on the board of Digital Currency Group, which owns Grayscale. So I'm not talking about that, but that is another product that was converted from a trust into an ETF product. There's so many opportunities, even if you don't. Now, this is not Satoshi's dream of owning an ETF that trades on the price of Bitcoin, because you're not actually holding Bitcoin if you hold an exchange traded fund, let's be clear. Mm-hmm. But this is, from my point of view, starting to learn about the both and proposition of the autonomy and agency of holding assets that in times of war and peace, in times of crisis and plenty, is just going to do what it does because we can see the rules is transparent and no government or corporation controls it. Right. Which may be why you hear the narrative of why this is terrible, terrible, terrible until they can figure out how to control it. They haven't figured it out yet. So you need to figure this out. Dr. Tammy, have I said anything wrong?
No, not at all.
We don't benefit from. In fact, if you see somebody under the guise or name of Dr. Tammy or Prof. Tanya saying, send me your money and we'll invest for you. That's a scam.
That's a scam.
This is about empowering you to make good choices. Right? What we're dealing in is education so that you get this right, because the only thing that's standing between you is your mindset, your fear, and the information. We have the information. We have a range of opportunities for you to connect with us, to learn, connect with the community so that it empowers you to make good choices and to do great things. You can do this. I don't know about Dr. Tammy. I am not a technologist.
No. We talked about that. No.
Tech adjacent. You can do this. You don't have to trust us. Trust the software and trust yourself that when you have new information, you get to make a new decision. It's a new day. It's a new time. It's rare to come up in a time in your right mind with a reasonable portion of health, as my Nana used to say, to figure it out. You have better resources and tools than Dr. Tammy and I had when we first started.
Absolutely.
They ain't perfect, but they're way better than they were 6-7 years ago. So tell people how they can remain in touch with you, any words of wisdom that you can leave them as well. And then before we sign off, I want you to name like three amazing women that people should connect with for great information. I have my little cheat sheet in front of me. So I'm putting Dr. Tammy on she's on the spot a little bit. She knows a lot of people. She knows a lot of great people. We know them together.
Professor Evans. Crypto Auntie is doing some of Ancilla Ramsey. You look for it on LinkedIn. Olayinka Odarian with the Black Women in Blockchain. Even Granny Crypto. You may not follow her, but I follow Granny Crypto. I love following her. I love connecting with her and talking with her because she's just an example of what I envision for our community.
Yes.
Is that women of all ages are learning and getting involved at the level that they feel comfortable. And so, yeah, so that's a few.
Before we drop all of your information, I'll go and do mine. I had Ancilla Ramsey on my list for sure, known for her work in blockchain education, underrepresented communities in the space for sure. And I'll give a shout out to Charlene Federepo. She recently won the FinTech Person of the Year. I was a lovely finalist. Charlene is killing the game. She does all of this global work, a lot of work on the continent of Africa. So we're going to give her a shout out for her work as a Bitcoin advisor, advocate, the founder of GuideFi. She focuses on financial education. We're going to give a shout out to Clev Messidor.
Yes, she was on my list.
Okay, yes, there you go. So public policy advisor, founder of National Policy Network, the Women of Color in Blockchain, working with Blockchain Association's Foundation. We'll give a shout out. She's changed her name recently, but I don't have the new name on my list. So I'm going to go with the old name. The founder of Guapcoin, Devanya Evans, a last name stake. We haven't figured out our connection, but aren't we all connected? She's my cousin, evidently. Who's amazing. Carmel Cadet. I just had an interview with her. So CEO and founder of MTech, which is a fintech company that helps central banks to adopt modern technologies, kind of the bridge from TradFi to the mainstream. We'll give a shout out to Naja Roberts as well. And one person who I learned about recently, I do not know her personally, but as I'm doing all of this research for my past, present, and future Black women in wealth, came across the name Kahina Van Dyke. Do you know her?
No, I don't.
She is the global head of digital channels and client data analytics at Standard Chartered Bank. So she's made significant contributions to blockchain and banking. And I'm going to reach out to, I don't know her personally, I'm going to reach out to her. If you're a listener and you know her, kind of like have your people call my people, call her people. So many people, you know, when I think about hidden figures in technology, and then we have this financial technology where we're here, but we're here, we're here, we're making an impact. We got our heads down and we're doing the good work. And just in closing, one again, I want to give you your flowers for all the things that you are doing and to have you let folks know where they can learn more about you and your work.
Thank you. I am Dr. Tammy Francis everywhere, Dr. Tammy Francis everywhere. And you can connect with me, whether it's LinkedIn, X, Facebook, Instagram, connect with me there. And DrTammyFrancis.com is my website. You can also go there and reach out to me and connect with me through that platform as well. And so, yeah, just follow me. Let's go.
Excellent. Right. As we always say, you don't have to do all the things, but you must do something. Mm-hmm. Don't make us pull out our homework. This is not even homework. This is life work. This is mission work. This is freedom work. You can do this. We can help. But we have seen this transformation and we see the writing on the wall, and the world will change in the next 2 years more than it has in the last 10. We don't have decades of time to figure this out. Even though as women, we tend to be more conservative, we also, generally speaking, are in charge of our households, whether we're married or not, and regardless of the configuration of your relationship, that we are the deciders. So we need to be about the business of not just trading our time for money, because there's finite time, but there's infinite possibilities with our creativity, with to be able to create and use our existing talents, our gifts, our skills in order to make those relevant and important in the future. Because guess what? I know it's a little bit of a sales thing, but the future literally is now.
Right now.
Literally, right now. You can do this. We can help. Join me in thanking Dr. Tammy Francis for being here. And let's continue this nation building together, shall we?
We shall. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening to the Tech Intersect podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you love it, please tell the world. If not, go ahead and tell me. And in either case, drop a comment or ping me on social media at IPProfEvans with the hashtag Tech Intersect. And finally, a quick reminder on digital safety. There are a lot of scammers out there impersonating me and others, and I need your help. Now hear this, and remember, I will never slide into your DMs to say peace and blessings or hey, and I will never reach out to solicit your time or your money on social media, like ever. I'm not a trader. I am an educator and an attorney licensed in 4 states. Thank you very much. I'm here to inform, inspire, and empower. No cap, and definitely no Forex. So be careful, make good choices, and remember, I developed an entire free masterclass about the topic of digital safety in the crypto space. So check out secureyourcryptobag.com for more information. That's secureyourcryptobag.com. All right, that's all for this episode. Until next time, continue to shine.